For sure, if we possibly could, appreciate that. Get everybody situated. I heard many adult bus riders in this morning had many various decisions for Christ. So if you're visiting tonight, we just want you to know that we're glad to have you here with us. Many of our Hispanic ministry in here with us tonight. Thank you for coming to be a part. And had a great day this morning. I know we baptized many in our Spanish ministry, and we appreciate that today for your efforts and your work. Tonight, we glorify our Lord Jesus Christ one more time on this Easter day. As you're listening tonight, I'd like you to just reflect on a day's events of what happened a period of time ago on that day. All kinds of events happening. It's growing towards evening now, but we get to go back and relive it just a little bit. And may I say, there's a witness within us. The Holy Spirit of God verifies some of the things that we'll be talking about and singing about and telling you about tonight. It's real, it's real, it's real. What we're doing is real. The older I get, the more real it is to me. If someone tells me I'm brainwashed, just leave me alone. I'm bored. I'm having a good time with the washing of my brain. And I've got to tell you, it's a better way to think with hope of what's going to happen after this world and after this earth is all over. It's a better way of thinking. We appreciate all the work that's going into it. Everybody you see here tonight are members of our church, and we appreciate their efforts. You know, it's interesting. We come to a church house like this, but it's for a period of time, it's like we're a family, just for a period of time in the same building, if you would, in the same setting. And we like to not so much just entertain you, although you will be entertained. There will be some laughter tonight. But we want to communicate to you tonight. To those of you who may not know Christ as Savior, listen very carefully. And to those of us who are saved, let's just rejoice in all that we hear tonight, because Jesus Christ is risen again from the dead. Thank you for being in our services tonight, and thank you for all the work that you've done for our choir and those in music and drama. And we'll have preaching a little bit tonight, and then we'll let you get home. Thank you. We're just about ready to hear one more time tonight, entitled The Master of Miracles. And truly he is a master, and truly he is a miracle worker. We appreciate all he's done for us in our lives, and we hope he'll do the same in yours. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Speaker at the Republican convention in Nazareth was certainly one of the highlights of Zacchaeus' career to this point. Although the promotion to chief publican had long hours and required extraordinary people skills, it did have its benefits: the recognition of his peers, the power over people's lives, and the riches made it all worth it. You see, in his mind, it was wealth and power that would overcome the perceived disadvantage of being small in stature. After a tremendous speech on collecting the uncollectible, several of the attendees gave him their challenging accounts. Never a man to turn down a challenge, Zacchaeus, with his faithful enforcer Drupus, headed south through Samaria to Jerusalem, collecting accounts along the way.
It seems this woman has been avoiding tax collection by hiding whenever a publican is known to be around. Are you listening to me?
I was making rock wishes. You see, when I was...
Oh, stop that nonsense and pay attention.
Yes, boss.
The report says she draws water from this well once a day. Now, this is where we can catch her. Straighten up, you big goof!
I'm listening, boss.
Here's the plan. About the time we know she's coming out for water, you hide on one side of the door while I hide on the other. When she comes outside, you grab her and I'll read her the tax bill.
Then we'll make her pay, or I'll get to throw her in jail, right, boss?
Right. Let's just hope she has the money to pay. It's about the sixth hour now. Let's get into position.
Oh, my. You scared me half to death. You ought to be ashamed of yourself standing around here like that. Now, you go about your business and don't let me catch you around here again. Do you hear me?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
What are you doing, you big lunk? Go grab her before she gets away.
Sorry, boss.
Gotcha.
What are you doing?
He's going to break your arm and throw you in jail if you don't come up with your tax money.
Who are you?
I am Chief Publican Zacchaeus, and I'm here to collect.
Please.
It says here that you've had 5 divorce settlements.
I don't have it, I tell you. I've had to use the money for my needs and to eat.
Don't blame me if you spend your money on frivolities.
Let me take her to jail till she pays.
Oh, please. I beg you by the gods. Give me a chance. I'll do anything.
Don't try to flatter me. You're pitiful. I doubt your gods can help you. Charm that guy you're living with now. Maybe you can con him into marrying you. You have 60 days. Now get out of my sight.
Yes?
Jacob Rook, you owe 16 shekels for city tax, 27 shekels for county tax, 90 shekels for state tax, 43 shekels temple tax, 102 late penalties for property. Do you see this?
I don't think you can, boss. Look.
Blind? It doesn't say anywhere on here that he's blind.
But I have no money. I live in this small room that was given to me just to keep the weather off my head. I've been blind from birth and have to beg for my needs.
That's no excuse. Everybody pays taxes.
But I don't...
No buts about it. If you can't pay up, you should be downtown begging instead of standing around here. I expect you to increase your begging hours and pay up within 60 days. Drupus.
He's blind.
No.
Nice house, isn't it, boss?
Yes.
Hello. Welcome to our home.
I am Chief Publican Zacchaeus. Please have Lazarus come to the door.
Lazarus?
Thank you, Mary. I'll take it from here. Yes, may I help you?
I am Chief Publican Zacchaeus, and
yes,
I'm here
I've
to discuss...
Yes, I've heard, but we've already paid our taxes here.
That is true. However, our records show that your business has been doing very well. Why, you have even gone out and purchased a new family tomb. Therefore, we are doubling your taxes, and I'm here to collect.
We don't have that kind of money. Yes, business has been doing well, but my health has been wavering, and the funds aren't coming in like they were earlier in the year.
Not my problem.
Can't you?
My judgment is final.
It's unfair. This is thievery.
Beautiful place you have here, Lazarus. I've always been fond of Bethany. Wouldn't mind relocating here.
You wouldn't.
I would. You have 90 days to come up with that payment.
The Roman government was demanding its share of the taxes, but collections were becoming increasingly more difficult. The problem wasn't that people wouldn't pay, it was finding someone who would go out and collect. Publicans were resigning their posts in record numbers, and this was especially true in the province of Galilee. There were rumors that a man named Jesus was causing chaos among the publican community. Not only were there many resignations, but those who stayed on were now dealing fairly with the public. A very reliable source reported to Zacchaeus that one of his top publicans, Matthew, had actually begun following this Jesus just south of Capernaum. It became imperative that Zacchaeus go to the Galilean province to straighten things out. Before Zacchaeus left for Galilee, he attended the funeral of Lazarus of Bethany. He knew Lazarus had been a friend of this rebel, Jesus, and wanted to make it known to Lazarus' sisters that he would be back to collect. After several agonizing days in Galilee, Zacchaeus was southbound to Jericho through Jerusalem, following up on the communities along the way in Jesus' footsteps.
Something smells good, boss.
Pay attention to what you're doing. This time, remember to grab the woman when she comes out the door. Gotcha!
Oh, now we'll lose her.
No, we didn't, boss.
These are all for you.
Gee, thanks.
And this is for you, my tax money, every mite.
Well, I...
You can count it. It's all there. You won't believe what happened while you've been away. It was right over there by that old well. I went out to draw water, and there he was. A man who was able to look right through me. He really knew me. I mean my heart. He told me all things that ever I did. He told me about a water that wasn't from that old well, but a water that causes people to never thirst again. Well, I ran into town to tell everyone I could find. Many of us came out to meet him. We all met him, the Messiah, the Christ. I believe his words. He changed my life. My lifestyle has changed. I have a great job. I even paid my taxes. Now we all choose to bow to a new Lord and King.
Well, who is this man?
Don't you know? Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
believe what just happened?
I told you I smelled something, boss.
Sure is buzzing around Jerusalem.
What buzzing?
I know that blind guy's in there. Now he's probably gone deaf.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yes, I'm looking for the blind man, Jacob, that lives here.
I'm the man you're looking for. I'm Jacob. You must be Zacchaeus, the chief publican. I remember your voice.
Huh?
Well, I used to live in there when I was blind, but now I use it for a storage closet.
I'm confused.
It's surprising you don't know what's going on around here. I was standing at this very spot and heard a crowd coming. Two. Before I knew what was happening, a man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. I was excited. Four. People couldn't believe it. They made me go before the Pharisees and even called my parents in. They started arguing and calling them names and making accusations. I told them the same thing I'm telling you right now. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. They got so mad at me, they threw me out. Three. They're crazy. I met the master. I believe in Christ. He changed my life.
I think I would like to meet this man, although it seems like I've already met him in so many people, like you. I can't believe how your life has been changed, and you're so different.
I certainly hope my life faithfully testifies of the Lord. By the way, I got a great job now making sundials. How much do I owe you? I'd like to pay up.
Well, why?
You okay, boss?
Listen, take what I have on me right now. If I owe any more, just let me know.
Love.
Drufus. I think I'm headed for a serious nervous breakdown.
You'll be okay, boss.
I hope so. These girls should have gotten the insurance money from their brother's death by now. We sure could use the encouragement. Then again, this would be a nice vacation home.
Is he hurt?
I think he's having a serious breakdown.
Sit him up over here.
I thought you were dead.
I was.
We were at your funeral. It was really nice.
Well, I was dead, but not anymore. Praise God.
Well, wait. Don't tell me. You're going to tell me what happened.
I'm glad you asked. I was very ill, on my deathbed. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come, but he couldn't. And I ended up dying. But you know that, of course, because you were at my funeral.
It was really nice.
Hush up.
Go on.
Well, the next thing I know, I was lying in the tomb, all wrapped up in grave clothes, and I heard Jesus calling out, "Lazarus, come forth!" I was all bound up, so I hopped over to the entrance, and he told everyone, "Loose him, let him go!" You know, I was in there for 4 days. You would think I'd be all rotten and stinky, but I feel great. I've never felt better.
I can't believe this. This whole Jesus thing is driving me crazy. I've got to meet him.
Well, I know he went over to Jericho. If you hurry, you might be able to catch him over there.
Drufus, we must hurry for to see Jesus.
Oh, by the way, how much do I owe you?
We'll settle that later.
Thank you. did make it to Jericho in time to catch Jesus. He didn't realize how popular at this time Jesus had become. If it was true about all the miracles, he could understand the excitement. His anticipation peaked as he sought to see Jesus. He, being small in stature, became increasingly frustrated, for he couldn't get to Jesus nor see him through the crowd. Therefore, he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree so that he could at least get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. Jesus didn't only pass by, but upon seeing Zacchaeus, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Zacchaeus had now met the master of miracles and realized all that had been said was not only true, but grossly understated. He trusted Christ that day and vowed to give away half his goods to the poor and restore 4 times the amount he had taken from people by false accusation. Even Jesus stated, "Today is salvation come to this home." Zacchaeus decided to scour the countryside from top to bottom. He journeyed to the province of Galilee once again and there began to rectify his wrongs. It was there he celebrated Passover, then headed south with his newfound faith.
Boy, am I glad to be around some people. That was scary how the sun disappeared for 3 hours while we were traveling yesterday.
You can say that again. I thought we were goners when the earth started to shake.
Abigail, it's so good to see you. It's me, Zacchaeus, now the tax returner. I've got great news. I met Jesus just like you did. It's so wonderful to have a new outlook on life. What's wrong? You seem so sad to hear it. This is a joyous occasion.
Surely you have heard.
No.
The news of this has traveled so quickly. Jesus has been crucified, put in a guarded tomb.
Why, this can't be. I know there were some religious folks out to get him, but he had done nothing wrong.
There is no mistake. He was the only one I knew that really loved me.
That is precisely how I felt. This is unbelievable.
My heart was like an empty room. Then Jesus walked in and his love filled it with joy. Even though he's gone, it's as if he still actually lives in my heart. Since I've trusted in him, I know he'll be there forever and never leave me.
I, too, have never experienced such love and peace in my soul since I met the Master.
Thank you.
don't see him anywhere, boss.
He has to be around here somewhere. They say he comes down here every day, passing out literature about Jesus, and even preaching in the streets.
Boss.
Rufus, I wish you'd start calling me brother.
Everyone we've met seems so sad.
Well, a very sad thing has happened. I'm trying not to be discouraged myself. When Jesus was with us, I made him a promise. No matter what the circumstances, I'm going to keep my vow. We will return all that we have taken dishonestly.
Look, there he is, boss.
Jacob, I'm glad I found you.
Yeah.
It's Jesus, isn't it? What has happened is terrible, but there's no need to be this downhearted.
You don't understand. I saw it. They didn't give him a trial. It was a lynch mob. He was treated so cruelly and beaten beyond recognition. They shoved a crown of thorns upon his head. He had to carry his own cross to his death. It was so weak he fell beneath its weight. I tell you, I saw it. A mass of human flesh hanging on that cross. All this agony, yet he found time to forgive one of those hanging with him. The sky, the earth, the spear, the whole scene is unbearable to have in my memory. What advantage is this to have my sight and view the death of my Savior? How I wish I were blind again and had not seen this evil!
My friend, we must have faith. I somewhat recall Jesus mentioning he would never leave us. I'm sure he will return.
I don't know. He's been in the tomb 2 days now. There's no sign of anything happening.
You've had a rough day. Why don't we walk you home so you can get some rest? I know we were trying to be an encouragement yesterday, but to tell you the truth, Rufus, I'm a little discouraged myself.
Things don't look too good, do they, boss?
No. I sure hope we don't have to cheer up Lazarus and his sisters. I don't have anything left. Let's make this our last call, then head back to Jericho.
I wonder where everybody went.
It's getting late into the evening. Most folks have come in by now. But someone should be around.
Look! Who's that running up the hill?
He lives! He lives!
What do you mean he lives?
Jesus! He lives!
This is nothing to be joking around about.
I promise. No joke. Jesus is alive! It's so clear to me now. I can't believe I didn't see it earlier.
Well, come on, tell us about it.
Can't you see? It's been 3 days. Jesus himself said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was necessary for him to die as a payment for the sins of man. The final sacrificial lamb. Remember, as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus' death paid the price of our sin debt. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus died, taking our sins upon himself, and then he buried our sins in the grave, and now he is alive, proving that he has power over death. He is the one that can give us life, eternal life for all who will trust in him.
How do you really know?
This is the third day. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of evil men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He's fulfilled all prophecy to the jot and tittle. Some of the women went down to the tomb this morning. There were no guards, and the stone door was rolled away. Even Peter and John saw it. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples. I tell you, he is alive!
Well, what are we waiting here for? Let's go to Jerusalem and see the Savior.
Stop the tape at this point and turn the cassette over to continue the program.
Peter and John saw it, and then Jesus appeared to the disciples. I tell you, he is alive.
Well, what are we waiting here for? Let's go to Jerusalem and see the Savior.
Yes, Jesus is alive. After Christ's victory over death and hell, he appeared to Peter, then to the 12,
and afterward over 500 at one time. He tarried 40 days, showing himself alive by many infallible proofs, and spoke on the kingdom of God. Then, in the presence of many, he ascended into heaven with this admonishment, I am coming again.
To go ahead and bring up the lights tonight. As I was listening again to the thought of the master of all miracles, I was thinking tonight, we read about all these miracles, and by the way, they're all true. But maybe the greatest miracle tonight is what he's done for us personally. I don't know if you ever considered that the fact that he got the word of God into each one of us and convinced us to believe by faith that he rose again from the dead and persuaded us to repent, if you would. Repent. And trust him as our Savior, and that he would take us just as we are, and how he's changed our life. What a miracle. May I say something to you tonight, and I want you to listen very, very carefully. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Tonight, the devil has no hold over our souls. Tonight, there's no way the devil can drag us down to hell. Tonight, there's no way that the devil has any claim to us. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And that God drew us to himself, and that we receive Christ as Savior. The Bible says this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Brethren, the devil uses sin. And I want to read something to you, and I want you to remind yourself of this scriptural truth tonight. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Those are questions. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But may I remind you that the law is nailed to the cross for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And when that law is taken out of the way, sin is no longer imputed to us. Is that right? And tonight, we do not have to fear death, eternal separation from God. Tonight, Satan has no power over us. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered the one who had the power of death. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that he shall do, that shall be destroyed is death. He's already won. And now we wait for the victory tonight. If you've never received Christ as your Savior tonight, you might as well decide to do it and be amongst the victorious ones. You say, but it looks like the world's having so much fun. But Christians are happy. We have a peace of God that passes all understanding in our heart. Some people would think we're weird in here tonight, coming in here tonight and spending all this time and effort and money. But we came to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we came to recognize the Master of Miracles. And the greatest miracle of all is that we're saved tonight. We're on our way to heaven tonight. And this is not just a fake facade. This is a real, real eternal deal here tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive tonight, and he reigns. And I'm so happy. The older I get, the more I believe that he's living. Should too. Think about it with me just for a moment. He's already appeared today to Mary Magdalene. He's already appeared to many. He's been on the road to Emmaus with two, and he's been telling them all about the scriptures. Just about maybe this time of an evening, I don't know. A few thousand years ago, it says on the first day of the week at even, he sat down and he began to break bread with those two. And as he began to break that bread, their eyes were open. They started to realize that the one who was talking about what was going on in the Bible, it was in fact the Lord. And the Bible says this, if you would, as they were sitting there, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour. I don't know what hour it was, but maybe it was about this time, I don't know, of an evening. And returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen. May I say something to you tonight? The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said to them, peace be unto you. I don't expect the Lord to show up like that tonight. But inside our souls, the Holy Spirit of God could say to you tonight, O Christian, peace be. We get weary in well-doing sometimes. You're looking at some people and looking at people tonight that are tired and weary, worn out just a little bit. We'll get all the rest we need in the millennium. Now it's the time to work. Now it's the time to labor. But may I remind you of something, Christian saint, tonight? Our labors are not in vain. May I remind you those that worked the bus routes today, and those who worked the Spanish ministry, and those who labored in music, and up here tonight, and you're standing and saying, oh, I hope you get done quick because I'm tired tonight. May I say to you, your labors are not in vain tonight. And may I say to you tonight, be not weary, well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And if you've never received Christ as Savior, why don't you join the ones who already received Christ today and make this the day of your salvation? It'll be an easy day to remember. You'll be able to say, I got saved on Easter 2001 on an evening service. As I listened to the choir singing a drama presentation, the Holy Spirit did something inside of me, and my eyes were open, and something burned within me, and I had to receive him as Savior. Today would be a wonderful day to receive him as Savior. But to those of you who have already received him as Savior, may I as a human just remind you that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead will raise us also. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. And no matter what principalities and powers do, they can't stop us from going to heaven. We're on our way. I leave you this last thought tonight as we prepare to dismiss. When you go home tonight, after you fellowship a little bit, encourage one another, whether you're all alone or whether you're with the family, just remember that we're not to be ignorant as those who have no hope. We have a great hope. The Bible says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? A shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Brethren, we're going up one of these days. Whether we go through death, if you would, the temporary leaving of our body, or whether we're alive when the voice of the archangel comes, it doesn't matter. We're going up to heaven. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And I want you to listen to this as you lay your head down tonight. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I don't know what you're facing tomorrow, but just lay your head down tonight and say, one of these days, it won't matter. One of these days, I'll be with God, and this world will be gone, and I won't even remember it anymore. So God, help me through another night. But as you lay your head down tonight, just remember, it was worth everything we did. It was worth all the tracks going out and all the dissemination of the prayer and the fasting and the music and everything. And it's worth it tonight if you get saved. But brethren, if you're a saint of God tonight, you ought to be encouraged. You're not alone. Others of us believe just as you do. Wherefore, comfort one another with, not my words, these words. And we're comforted tonight with what God has done for us. We're going to have an altar call on this Easter Sunday evening. If you're not saved, tonight would be a wonderful night. Just no fanfare. We don't want to trick you, or we don't want to persuade you other than what we already have. If the Holy Spirit says to come, we want you to come. And we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Or if you want to, you can receive Christ where you sit tonight. It's between you and God. But to some of the saints of God in here tonight, and maybe just tonight, you're a little tired, a little weak. You're going through some great trials and troubles and tribulations. Might be good tonight just to rejoice and praise Him a little bit. Right in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of the trial, right in the middle of the trouble, right in the middle as you're weak, right in the middle as you're heavy laden down, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. And I will give you what? Rest." And maybe tonight as you come, some of those heavy laden yokes of things that we have in our life going on, maybe He'll release them from you tonight and give you that peace and that joy that you need within. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, we want you to feel free to come tonight. But it's our Sunday evening also. And brother, may I say to you tonight, Satan has no power over us, and we ought to rejoice tonight. On this Easter Sunday night, we should rejoice for what God has done for us and what He's going to do for us. And one of these days, we'll watch as that last enemy is destroyed. And may I say to you, one of these days we're coming back with Him tonight. Before we get there, before faith turns into sight, let's take a time of praise and thanksgiving. I'm talking to choir members tonight. I'm talking about to musicians tonight. Those of you working behind the scenes tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If your need is salvation, please join us as we pray tonight. If you'd like to come, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're in here tonight and you're a saint, or maybe something heavy on your mind, or someone you want to pray for, or you just want to let the fruit of your lips give thanks unto His name tonight, it wouldn't be wrong to take 5 minutes. He drank that cup of suffering for us. It was not His sins, if you would. The altar's open tonight. It wasn't His sins that caused all that suffering. It was our sins that caused Him to drink that cup of suffering. It was our sins that caused Him to go to that cross, and that He suffered that agony for us. As a criminal, they crucified and they scourged Him, and He opened not His mouth. And He did it as a substitutionary way for us all over the auditorium tonight. It would be worth our time and our effort, and He is worthy of our praise tonight. In heaven, they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And down here on earth, we ought to bow our knees. Of things in earth and things under the earth, they're going to bow one of these days. But like that song said, we're going to bow our knee now as the instruments play. If you'd like to use an old-fashioned altar tonight, whether you're way in the back or up front or in our choir or wherever you are, if you're not sure of your salvation tonight, why don't you just slip out as others have come? Maybe as a family tonight on Easter Sunday night, you'd like to just join together in an altar in the pew or on the altar area or down an aisle here and just ask God to receive your praise and your worship tonight. I'm going to dismiss the choir to go around to your family or wherever you want to go tonight. We appreciate you being here. Appreciate your work. Be encouraged tonight, saint of God. With your heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, maybe you're visiting with us. Maybe you've never received Christ as Savior. I'd like to just ask you to give us the privilege of praying for you tonight. It's a prayer that would just ask God, if you would, to encourage you to open up your eyes tonight. But the prayer of your salvation is between you and God and that alone. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. It's through him that you would pray tonight. But at least we could pray for you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure yet of my salvation and my Christianity. I'm struggling with it a little bit. I'm not going to point you out and embarrass you. But if that's you tonight, let me pray for you. Would you slip up your hands tonight and say, that's me. Pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Good. Another child over here. That's good. Little children need to come to the Lord too. Anybody else tonight? Pray for me. Yes, back over here. Good. Good. I see you back in the back. Good. I'm glad children are listening to the message here tonight too. Praying for their salvation at 5 and 6 and 8 years old and 10 years old. If it was one of your grandchildren, one of your nieces or nephew, pray for them. If it was one of your children, you'd pray. So I'd like you to pray for these children with me tonight. Father, please. We'd ask that some hearts would be settled tonight about their salvation. We pray for these who've raised their hand for salvation or seeking encouragement about their salvation. Please, God, tonight, do your work, your will, your way. And God, as we come to you as individuals, as married, as families, as couples, God, as individuals and singles and those in the ministries and those, God, who are laboring for you and with you, those, God, that are under heavy burdens tonight, we pray that the saints of God would be encouraged about being in church tonight. For those who need salvation, may this be the day that death is conquered in their life through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May Satan have no more power upon them at their time when they would be absent from the body. And God, tonight, for the one about ready to give up or faint, we pray you restore him tonight, re-strengthen him tonight. God, may they be re-energized. Lord, may you walk across that stormy water in their life tonight, and may they beckon you to their ship, and may all things be peace and it's still in their hearts tonight. God, you are the master of miracles, and we acknowledge that. We know you've done a miracle in our life, and you do many, many each week for members of our church and congregation. Thank you for the miracle of many getting saved this morning in English and Spanish and our bus ministries and military. Thank you, God, for still persuading men and women and young boys and girls to yourself. And help us, God, tonight to rejoice in what you've already accomplished. Lord, we wait. We patiently wait for the redemption of our souls. We patiently wait as we labor here for you and that we're spent for your service to the day when you will, in a literal way, redeem us from this earth into heaven. Thank you for all the promises, and we believe they're true. God, we pray that more and more Christians would be strengthened in their walk for thee. God, that you'd receive more and more honor and glory from our lives. It's a wonderful thing, Lord, tonight to be here on Easter evening. Please, bless these who've come. Take your time tonight. Take your time. We're in no hurry. I'm just going to let the instruments play. If you're standing, you want to be seated for a couple moments. We'll give you a couple of results of some decisions, maybe. We'll let you dismiss in just a moment. Let's just listen to the music and think about our Lord and Savior just for a few minutes.